Welcome to the Wallace Show Aftercast. All the things we didn't get to during the course of the show today, including a new podcast that will be starting soon, if Gavin and Betty have their way, called, what is it, Gavin?
Hanging with Hayden.
Hanging with Hayden.
I produce that.
My mythical son, who I don't like very much.
You're mythical.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
I had a conversation with my actual daughter, Haley, yesterday.
Because you had told your wife about him.
Yes.
And now your daughter knows. So, yeah, the whole family knows about him.
Yeah. And so I call Haley, and or she called me, and we were talking just about stuff. And I said, oh, my gosh, you're going to love this, Boodle. You have a brother.
What?
What? She's like, I'm like, yeah, it's a hypothetical fake brother that Betty Rock made up. And she puts us in all these scenarios where you always come out on top, and she's like, oh, that's great. Like,
she doesn't
she's like,
care.
Yeah, she's like, I like that. Like, as an only child,
as
absolutely.
Long as I win.
I'm like, the situations are really dark for Hayden. She's like, it's okay.
He's homeless, Haley. Yeah. Oh, that's fine.
Doesn't matter. You're still taking care of me, right? Yeah, you're still good, baby. But she got a kick out of that because she knows you really well, too, Rock. And so when I'm like, yeah. And Betty gets real dark with it. She's like, oh, that checks out. Oh, man. All right, let's get to some of this stuff here today. Remember when Wendy's recently announced that they were doing surge pricing?
Yep.
And so all of a sudden at noon, your Big Mac could cost you a few bucks more than it would at 2 or something like that. Well, they realized that was such a horrible idea, and they got so much backlash. They're like, we're just kidding. No, you weren't.
Sure, yeah,
they said
you were.
Like the CEO had said, and they were like, oh, that's not true at all.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what your phone call with the other execs said differently. So now what they're doing is they're doing an in-app exclusive during March Madness for fans, and they claim that Wendy's iconic single will be $1 inside the app, and the double will be $2. Gavin's already going to get it as we speak. It's in the app to keep fans full and ready to cheer on their team.
No, they're trying to butter us up or grease us up so that they can be in our good graces again.
No, they
really care
about March Madness and teamwork.
They can butter me up. I don't care.
Yeah, like just butter those buns too. Not mine, but the ones on the hamburger.
Can I get some bacon on that?
Oh, yeah. So... Now, here's where their marketing person just totally ruins it, okay? Because they put out this press release, and it says, as the official hamburger of March Madness, Wendy's is giving college basketball fans and athletes the quality, fresh, never-frozen beef they deserve to fuel every buzzer-beater layup and alley-oop. I guess
they're alley-oop?
Layup,
how
they
fun.
Were talking about
give me that
women's basketball.
Alley-oop?
Guys do alley-oops.
No, layups.
Oh.
Yeah. And so it's like, but I love that. Athletes get their quality, fresh, never frozen. It's like, just leave all the marketing buzzwords out and just give people a good value. Look, we know what you're doing. We're well aware. You're undoing your debacle, but it's kind of like you don't have to put the copy points in there, you know? I always wonder how much they lose on things like this, though. Like when they do, like you get $1 every time, you know, the Predators score, you get a free burrito or whatever, you know, like when they do these promotions. So they offer a hamburger for $1. Are they losing money on that? Is it a lost leader to get you in the door to buy other things?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a break even? Or even at $1, are they still making a few bucks on it? Because they buy everything in such bulk, like... I mean, it's got to be, the cost of their burger has to be somewhere
around
$1.
Well, doesn't it all depend on March Madness, on how many people are going to take them up on their offer? Like, we won't really know until...
Well, I'm saying just in general, like, on a one-to-one basis, like, if they say, you can buy a hamburger for $1, what's the cost of their hamburger? Like, is it actually... around that, or are they losing money on each one?
I don't know, because I feel like everything has jacked up in price.
Right.
And so maybe it does cost more, like, to pay for the gas to get the beef patties not frozen
absolutely.
To their location.
And then you've got increased
earnings,
wages, so that factors into it. Rent, electricity, all that stuff, like, factors into the cost of each item, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I'm just curious if they... If they were somewhere, because here's my point. Like, let's say that they are not losing money. Let's say it's a break even. Okay, so this is $1. So why could you not then be a human and be a good human and sell that same burger for $4 and make $3 profit on it? Why do you not do that? Why do you sell that same burger for $9? You do that because everybody else is going, hey, we can totally hose society and make money because everyone will put we keep putting up with it. Like, but why don't you not differentiate yourself and be the chain that goes, we're actually going to give a value? Because trust me, your food's not that great. And so you might as well be the chain that's different.
But maybe that is what they're doing.
They're only doing it for
this
March Madness.
This is their promotion.
Yeah, it's a promotion.
It would be interesting to see that. Or do they think that people have, you know, like brand loyalty?
Sure.
I would argue that we're probably decently loyal to like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
McDonald's.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If
they're close. If Wendy's was here, would we pick Wendy's? If
maybe.
It was right around the corner.
But if all of a sudden, let's go down like the chicken route.
Yeah.
We love Chick-fil-A. For the most part. If all of a sudden Popeyes, which say ones are right around the corner, if Popeyes all of a sudden was half the price of Chick-fil-A, would we stop Chick-fil-A at this, this room?
I would.
Would loyalty win out?
No, I would, because price is my loyalty for the most part.
No.
I think most people are that. What?
That is a load
of
malarkey.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because let's say that Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
And it's the one that's down the street from us that stink to high heaven.
Right.
Okay, we know they're cheaper than Starbucks.
Right.
We know that they're cheaper than...
And better.
No, they're more expensive than Chick-fil-A. That's true. But let's say that they have an awesome deal.
Yeah.
Awesome deal. But there's another coffee shop that makes the beast even better, but it's just more expensive.
Oh.
Money is not everything, because you don't know if you're going to get the right drink from the cheaper option.
Right.
You also don't know if they're going to show up on their shift.
Right.
So
at all.
It's not about the money.
Yeah.
It's about the reliability.
For something like that, coffee, where it's an immediate gratification, I think you're right. Oh, I would say airlines, but I think we all have our tolerances. Like, okay, so if I'm flying and it's a choice between Delta, United, and Southwest, say, and the cheapest option is Delta, I'll fly Delta. If the cheapest
the other day you were cursing them out.
Well, I know they annoy the crud out of me, but it's the cheapest option. I fly Delta because I have status with them, and so I've earned that status up. But I there were years I didn't fly Delta because I had so many bad experiences. But I'm just making the point that price does determine a lot of different things for people. Like, we get all bent out of shape. We're like, we're never going to you again. And then when it's the cheaper price, you're like, okay, I'll kind of go there.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if it was Continental, I don't like Continental. United. I would fly United if it was the cheapest version.
But wouldn't if it was bad customer service.
But I wouldn't fly Spirit. Like, see, so there, I do have my limits. Like, my limits are, I'm not going to dip down and dip my toe into the Spirit waters.
But the Spirit water. I've been on a Spirit flight. It wasn't terrible.
I have. I had a different experience
than
you.
But I don't think, just because it's the cheaper option doesn't mean it's the better option. Because
that's true.
It could be complete
crud. It usually isn't.
That you're getting, or the customer service isn't great.
Right.
And so you're like, well, then I'm not going to support that.
The cheaper option usually isn't always the best option, but it just depends on what it is, because I will opt for the cheaper option a lot of times.
Mm.
Yeah, like if it's chicken sandwich to chicken sandwich, and Chick-fil-A is $5 and they've got a dollar Chick-fil-A at Bojangles and it's decent, I'll take that.
Yeah, but you're not a huge fan of Chick-fil-A because you don't love the Lord.
Yeah, that's why.
Wow.
Yes, exactly. Let me see. What was the other thing? Oh, this was a really weird story. There was a mom that got arrested, get this, for getting even with the kid that was bullying her son at school.
Ooh.
What? I know. I see your face because I had the same reaction. I'm like, what in the world? So this mom, the kid wasn't fighting his own battles, I guess. And the mom gets involved. So she got arrested for this because she made a drink for her son's bully that sent the kid to the hospital.
Sent the bully to the hospital.
Yes.
That is insane.
Yes. Okay. Because at first you're like, oh, good for you being a mama bear. I get it. But here's where it's really weird. So this kid, I guess, had taken her son's sport drink or whatever. And so, I'm assuming there's a history of, you know, bullying here, because you don't go to this level over one thing. Now, what she made him, though, was not poisonous, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She took lemon juice, vinegar, don't write this down as a way to get even, salt and Gatorade, and mixed it together in a sports bottle.
Sounds fine.
Gave it to her son, who gave it to the classmate who had stolen his drink the day before. So the kid drinks it, gets really sick, gets nauseated, headaches, and they take him to the hospital. you're like, that's real. That must have been super sick. Because usually when you get sick at school, what's the first thing they do? They call your mom. Mm-hmm. And your mom comes and gets you.
Mm-hmm. Or so, they give you an ice pack.
Yeah. So for them to send him to the hospital, like, he had to be experiencing some distress. Yeah.
I thought
you
were going to say there was, like, X-lax in
this. No, like, I thought that, too.
I was like, that would be terrible and gross.
Okay. Yeah. Before we make any judgment calls.
Yes. Hold on to judgment.
I would like to know, what did the mother do before all of that?
Correct. If you we don't know
did
that
she
part,
reach yeah. out to the school?
You're right.
And did the school say, well, we haven't seen any bullying? Or, well, we hear you, but we're going to just try and correct him. With,
right.
Trying to redirect him.
We're using positive, words.
Yeah. And so, and then it keeps happening. And then your kid keeps coming home in tears. Okay. And then you tried to, let's say, reach out to the kid's parents. Right. And still nothing is happening. I'm not saying you should poison a kid. Sure. I'm not saying that.
And none of it was poison. It was...
Yeah.
Non-toxic.
Bad but mixture. You have heard of mama bear syndrome, and where if you keep poking and hurting her kid, she's going to do something to get results.
I get, see, that's what I get. I read through the article to see if there was more to it, and they didn't delve into any of that, because that definitely changes the narrative a little bit and what you think. I remember being on a soccer field with my daughter, and there's this one girl that was just pushing everybody down. And my daughter is so timid, and I probably didn't even really want to be there, and was just sweet, just playing the game, trying to play. And this girl just takes her out for no reason. And I lost my Jesus. And this is before Jesus, too. So I'm on the sideline, and I scream, no, and I like they're like scream things that children should not hear, and I am going towards the field and like being restrained
in the middle of the game.
Yes, because I have lost it.
Where's Marty in this situation?
I don't even remember. I went blind. I have no idea.
Was the kid's parents there?
I have no idea. Okay. I just know I was going nuts and was headed towards the field. Yeah, and then I had another kid that kicked her in the head.
Oh my God.
At a play gym, and like she was trying to climb up and kicked him, or he kicked her, and I lost it on that kid too. I was clawing up the gym to get him, I get this. If I had someone, you had a situation where your dad as an adult stepped in,
because
you had a psycho.
Yeah, so that it doesn't really matter what age your kid is.
That's
I think you're always going to be a mama bear or a papa bear.
That's it. Yeah, that's what you do. You know.
Yeah.
Now when your dad stepped in, like for that, and obviously he put the fear of God in the guy, and I love that about Danny Ray.
Yeah.
Were you like, thanks, Dad? Like, or were you like, Dad, I don't know if that's the right reaction. Like, were you thankful?
You know, looking back, I'm kind of surprised it wasn't worse than it was.
Yeah.
Because my dad did rein himself in. Now, he is a saved man.
Yes.
But there was a creeper, and my dad decided to get involved.
Yeah.
And the guy was so scared of my dad that he called the police on my dad.
Good. That you know what? That's the balance of power.
My dad did have to threaten a few things. But it did make me feel loved and cared and safe.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what women want. They want love and safety.
Yeah. And so
same.
But what I would
Haley's a good protector,
security,
right?
But I would say that I'm surprised I'm surprised my dad was able to rein it in.
It didn't escalate. Yeah, that is good.
That he didn't actually show up on the premises but he didn't.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
He just used his words.
That's restraint, and they're very powerful.
It is interesting, though, because in your case, it was he threatened an adult man, and while he was charging kids on
a 5-year-old girl. Yeah, but I was gonna win that one.
Yeah, you were. Oh my gosh.
I'm glad the story is that you were angry and not that you were arrested, though.
Yes, because
in this case, again, I still kind of can't believe that drink sent, I guess, the vinegar.
Yeah,
I guess that's bad.
Lemon juice. It upset his tummy.
Yeah, he's got a tender tummy. Yes.
But I'm like, to me, though, like, I'm fascinated by the other part of this story. Did that kid mess with this kid again? Or does he know, all right, his mom will take me out, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'll be a bully over here, but I'm not messing with you anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So there is something to that. Like, I know it's weird. Like, we talk about in the Bible, we talk about turning the other cheek. But I don't know that means to be passive and let things happen to you that are bad. I don't believe that at all. Like, if you're being assaulted, that the Bible is not about turning the other cheek and let that continue. You fight back with everything that you have. You know, but the concept of turning the other cheek was actually designed to heap embarrassment on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that, I'd never known that before. And I used to go to a really good church that broke down the context of things like that. And I loved it. What?
He said, I used to go to a really good church.
Oh, no. That's just, what I meant.
Shout out to Jeff. No. How's it going?
No, it's
second
different.
Place?
It's just different.
Maybe third.
No, we do things differently.
Sure.
But like the context of this, you know, story I thought was fantastic. And that it was like, if somebody does something to you, you offer that chance for grace, basically, by turning the other cheek. And if they then continue on you, then that's embarrassment for them, because that's what the culture was, you know.
So where was your turning of the other cheek when you were running up that slide on the gym?
Well, again,
people saw my rear end cheeks as I was running. Like, that was the only cheek that got turned. It was a 180, and I was going.
And that was pre-Jesus wallet, though.
Yeah. But yeah. So.
Oh gosh.
Yeah,
it's great.
Anywho, all right. Well, anyway, Lady Rock, what do you got?
Mine's more on a serious note. It's kind of like we're turning. Yeah.
It's the opposite of
right. How the turned tables.
How the tables have turned. I love your mixed metaphors are the cutest in the world.
That's Michael Scott.
Oh, you were doing that on purpose?
Yeah, he says how the turntables turn.
Okay, because sometimes you do that like
legit. That's true, I do. Okay, so it's been almost 3 years since the accidental shooting on the set of Alec Baldwin's Western.
That's,
that is
the movie Rust.
I can't believe that.
It'll be 3 years in October. But yesterday, Hannah Reid, she's the armorer for the film.
Miss Gutierrez.
She was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter over the death of the cinematographer, Helena Hutchins, and she was sentenced to 18 months in jail.
Man.
So prosecutors called Reed careless in handling firearms and ammunition on set, while the defense argued that Reed was the scapegoat for larger safety issues on set that she could not control.
That's interesting, because Alec Baldwin was one of the producers on the show, and he was the guy that actually fired the shot that killed this lady. He will walk away scot-free. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the economy of how we do things, is wealthy people have better lawyers, and there'll be nothing for him. I thought they did a civil trial, though, already, and I think he came out okay on that.
Well,
too.
Baldwin is set to go to trial in July for the same charge, the involuntary manslaughter, but he has pleaded not guilty.
Yeah.
So we're going to see.
Yeah, it was interesting because I did like a little bit of reading on this because I was fascinated by it. I'm like, here's this girl that I think her dad was an armorer as well, and so she's got movie in the blood, and like she's living her best life doing this job. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's so sad. But then because of her actions that she was complicit in, even accidentally, somebody else lost their wife and mother. So it's like, where do you go from that? Because you don't want to see this one girl's life ruined, you know. But if she had a hand in it, even accidentally, that's why we have involuntary manslaughter charges to rectify things. But they said, though, that she was responsible for bringing 6 live rounds onto the set. And that's the problem, because she had...
There's no need for that.
Right. There's no reason that live rounds should have ever been on that set. And they said this is a case where Ms. Gutierrez made one mistake. That one mistake was accidental. And yet, think about the odds of this, too. So they've got, a bunch of rounds of ammunition. He's shooting a 6-shooter 45. So only 6 bullets out of this handful of ammunition is going into this gun. Okay, so the odds are already there. Then he's doing a test thing and fires one shot. So in this scene, and he might have fired 2, but now you've got that odds getting even smaller, because now it's the one bullet that's chambered for this thing that then is shot and then shoots this lady. I mean, that is literally like Russian roulette. Like, the odds of that happening are so crazy that it went this way. But had those live rounds never been there, it wouldn't be an issue, you know?
Did she say why she brought live rounds?
I never heard that. And I think she was, the only thing I thought I remember somebody saying that she was saying that there was a mix up and she didn't bring the live rounds, that somebody else did.
And then they, you would think they should be reliable. But then again, if she's in charge of all of that, she should have checked it.
Right.
To make sure.
Because the reality is that the buck has to stop with her. Mm-hmm. Like, she has to be the one. They have all these rules. Some of this I know because I've been around different things in movies and stuff. But, like, the armorer is the stopgap. Like, and that's the person. They have all these rules about how you're supposed to handle guns, the way it's supposed to be done. They are supposed to be the last person that touches it before it is directly handed to that person, so no one can get in between there and mess with things. Because originally when this all happened, I thought, ooh, is there like some kind of weird like conspiracy? And it was
like it was a murder plot.
I know. Yeah. It sounds like it could, like this would be a good movie murder plot. Like somebody switched one of the rounds.
Ironically, it's like there's a world where, let's say, they make a movie based on this whole situation, and it does like it
does better.
Well, I assume Rust didn't actually get produced there.
They said they were going to finish it.
Did they really?
Yeah. They said they were going to finish it, which is what's really weird.
I think this this hypothetical movie sounds...
A movie being made about a movie.
Yeah.
A movie
that'd be
made
good.
About the thing would be better than the movie they were trying to make.
The family of the lady that was killed released a statement and said, "We look forward to the justice system continuing to make sure that everyone else who's responsible in Helena's death is required to face legal consequences for their action." It is interesting, too, because a lot of times people will, you get 3 years beyond something and there's been some healing and people will, you know, say things like, you know, this it's sad. We hate that it comes to this or whatever. But in this statement, it's like, oh, no, we're still bent and you're coming to grips. But I also think, and you read between the lines, it sounds like they're like, this is not the person that is only the person that's involved.
Well, and too, I think I find it interesting that the armorer's judicial court date, whatever, was before Alex.
Right.
Because then he can use that information to
maybe everything
help
that
him.
Came out, And then he's like, well, she's already been found guilty, so hey, it's not my fault. She was supposed to do it.
It could look good him.
Oh, it helps. Yeah, it definitely helps him.
Which might be the scapegoat situation that her. You know, defendants were.
Yeah, I think it is sad, like to see this happen. You know, you've got a sad thing for a family that loses their wife and mother needlessly, and then this other girl's life who is destroyed. That's the thing about accidents. You know, like I do think about this when I'm driving or whatever. I think about, and that's why I drive very like head on a swivel because I don't want to be that person, and I worry about myself. I've gotten more and more distracted, you know, and just my mind thinks differently now. And I'm like, okay, you can't be distracted because you could accidentally take somebody's life in your car.
It's like texting and driving.
Yeah, and your life is destroyed. Their life is destroyed, you know, and it's so sad. How many people's lives are irreparably altered because of not bad people, just
people
dumb
making
accidents.
Bad decisions.
Yeah, and just dumb things, you know? And
how do you
sad.
Live with that? Girl?
Yeah, that's sad. So, anyway, with that, fun times. You got a birthday for me?
I don't.
Oh, good. I was waiting redemption. For it. I was waiting for it. And Hannah is 5 years old today. Like, no.
That would have been awesome.
I would like to read something, though, from our potty group.
Oh, sure.
Olivia, she said, "I love how Wally said Betty Rock wasn't very competitive." Which she's talking about yesterday when we did the breathing competition.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
She said, "I love how Wally said Betty Rock wasn't very competitive, but have y'all seen the reindeer games?"
Oh, yeah.
I think she's almost made Gavin cry.
She takes pride in that.
A lot.
Yeah. She is. There are certain things she's very competitive with. Reindeer games being one.
Food
is another. She's super competitive
because that I love food.
I know you do.
Yeah,
it's one thing I look forward to all the time.
We know you, and we know to work around this. But I will say, thank you to you. Gavin brought in biscuits today for breakfast, so thank you, Gavin.
Thank you.
But Betty usually sits back and waits for us to serve her.
What?
And she does. And then today,
I'm the one that has to work the most.
No,
behind
then,
the scenes.
Yes, sure. And then today, she made our biscuits with butter.
It
so
was
thank
super
you.
Nice.
Usually,
don't get used to it.
I know.
Servant's heart.
Yeah, usually it's like we're like, "Miss Rock, do you need any more tea? Do you need some sweet tea?
Please
I'll
don't
get
hit
it for you. Please." I know. She flinches and we just hit the ground.
That's how I like it.
I know. Betty keeps us scared.
Living in fear is how you keep
how
us.
How I function.
Yeah,
how we work here.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for your aftercast for
and
today.
And as always, thanks for being a potty. Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.